right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Persuasion by the Pint. I'm Jonathan Taylor, along with
Sean McCool.
Sean, today we're going to spend a few minutes talking about some flights of persuasion, scarcity, some copywriting, some little ad examples, some mailers that...
Real stuff that showed up in my mailbox.
Yep.
This digital crap.
That's right. Stuff that you can feel. I've got one too.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I like that one. I saw a little glimpse of it. I like it. Something about that physical mailman.
I like the sound too.
Yeah. It stands out.
So. Just not the same. When you go to the mailbox and pull out something like this. Uh-huh. Even my wife commented, and I'll get into this when we get into the digging into it. I don't want to spoil it, but my wife, she's kind of one of these jaded, you know, she's jaded all the sales and marketing stuff.
I wonder why.
She's got like a force field around her.
She lives with a salesman. I mean, what do you expect? And two teenagers.
That's right. But she was even impressed, but we'll get into that.
Self-preservation for
her. That's right. Absolutely. She's getting it from all corners. All right. So before we get into that, we're going to cover some beverages. And, you know, I messed up on the last episode with our guest, David. We got into introducing him, and I forgot to give mine a review. So I'm going to have the same one back on because it was really good.
There you go.
And it's the Left Hand Brewing Peanut Butter Milk Stout. And I told, you know, after having that and drinking, I actually grabbed a second one on that show. Wow. It was really good. So I was like, man, I can't do another show without giving them a fair review because I forgot to do it on the last one. So
sounds good.
So I'm going to do it here.
If you find a good one, stick with it.
Because I think, Sean, I think this one's going to get...
Uh-oh.
I think it's going to get a 5. It's getting a 5. It's that good.
That's awesome. There's something about those peanut butter stouts, man. I think they're not too sweet, but they get that extra kick of flavor. There's just something about them.
It balances out the sweetness, the peanut butter does. And I think you have to really, so take this. As somebody, this is from the perspective of somebody who really likes peanut butter. Not everyone likes that. So my rating may not mean the same for somebody else. A friend of mine, Tommy, he was over at the house earlier this week for Memorial Day. We were doing a barbecue. I actually handed him one of these to drink and forgot that he has an allergy. He has a nut allergy. Oh. He took one look at this and he's like, dude, I can't drink this. Like, oh man.
An allergy, guys.
His is bad too. It's like peanuts. Nut he can't have, or he goes into a major allergic reaction. I mean, you basically have to stab him with an EpiPen. So
I can't imagine living that life. Oh, it sounds awful. No peanut butter.
No peanut butter.
Why? I mean, why would you even go on? I just don't understand.
It's like, I can't imagine. Life, you know, no P&J, no peanut butter banana, no peanut butter
anything. Reese's cups. What?
Oh man,
they should go to Mars or something to start over. I don't know. But all right, well, I've got, this is one of the leftovers in the fridge. So this is a duck rabbit porter.
Ooh, I remember that.
Yeah, so the Duck Rabbit Craft Brewers. Mm-hmm. It's just a good solid porter. Let me see. Let me take a swig.
Oh, that's a nice dark one too.
Yeah. So it's a good. I give that a 3.9.
Ooh, 3.9.
It's good, but coming off the porter I just had, it's coming off the stout I just had. Feels a little dry, but it's actually good. So
you gave it a 4 or 5 last time you had it on. Just kidding.
You don't remember. This is like, what was that show with Drew Carey? It's like, points don't matter.
That's right.
It's kind of the same thing. Whose line is it anyway?
That's right.
The show.
That's right.
It's like, points don't matter.
Points
Rays
don't matter.
Don't matter.
But I will say, this matters. I get a 5 every time on the show. left hand peanut butter milk stout. Yeah. It gets a 5.
You're even holding it in your left hand. Very good.
That's right. That's
well right. done.
This makes, right. I think this makes the 4th 5-star that we've had on the show.
Very nice. Very nice. So, that's, we're moving up in the world.
When we have five pints. When we have 5 pint ratings, then I don't know what that's going to do. We'll have to have some kind of special
sound effect.
Yeah, I don't know what
I'm going to do. Like a special trumpet or something.
That's right.
Like a king's trumpet announcement.
Oh, yeah.
Dun-dun. That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd something. Actually be good for our guests. We should do mm-hmm. that moving forward instead of applause. Mm. Everybody, you know.
That's true.
Something like that.
Yeah, I like that. Let's right. search that. All right.
All right. Well, let's do some quick examples and then get on with our Friday night.
Ooh.
I'm going to go have a burger.
Ooh. Okay.
Probably a venison burger. There's this place here in Austin that does venison burgers with whatever kind of cheeses, you know, goat cheese, blue mm-hmm. cheese, really good stuff. So, but we'll start with you. And I'm going to share my screen on mine because I was prepared.
What's the name of this place?
All-Star Burger.
All-Star Burger, okay.
In Bee Cave, Texas.
Is it a chain in Texas?
I don't think so. I mean, there might be 2 locations, but I think there's just 1.
Okay.
Pretty good, though.
I'll be out in Dallas next week.
I don't think it's up there.
Okay.
No.
I might make my way down your way then. I don't know. We'll see. All right, so you got some ad stuff. You got some mailers, physical stuff.
Let me share the old screen here.
All right.
Another benefit of watching us live on the YouTubes and the Facebooks.
Mm-hmm.
Share screen. Which screen? This screen. The joys of multiple screens. All right.
All right.
Sharing.
I'm waiting for it to pop up.
Oh. Oh, see, I got a new computer now. It says Chrome has lost permission to capture your screen. Follow these steps. What the heck? You go ahead while I'm working out technical right. difficulties.
So this is really good. I love the simplicity of it. So I got this in the mail this week. It says, at the very top, it says, Jonathan, personalization. I mm-hmm. feel like you're overpaying on your auto loan. I got you pre-approved for up to $32,000 or maybe more by All Direct Lending. My goal is to get you a better APR, lower your payment, and save you money. So what's cool about this is, by the way, I don't think they're going to beat my rate because I'm with the local credit union. They may be able to beat it, but look at this. What attracted me to this was like the personalization, because it looks like it's written on just basically a legal pad. Somebody tore it out.
Yeah.
And even the, I'll hold it up close, even the handwriting, it's got the handwriting font to it. You can see that.
Yeah. Yep.
And although I know for a fact that this isn't written with a pen, because if you look at it closely, you can tell, it's still attractive to the fact, I mean, that somebody uses a personalized touch. They use my name, and then they also use cursive, which is probably, you know, they've got some kind of cursive font. But at the very bottom, you know, pre-approved, obviously.
Oh, I like that big red stamp.
Big red stamp.
It's boom. Crooked, too. So it looks like somebody actually stamped it.
That's right. And so
what did it look like folded up and in the mailbox?
So it was in a personalized envelope, just like this, folded just like this in a personalized envelope. So
very cool.
Yeah. And there was a little other, I think there was another piece, here's the card to the person. And it's a local guy too. So with the number and everything. So kudos to him, you know, obviously. That's effective because most of this junk stuff, it goes in the waste basket. But that I saved it to the side because I thought it really captured my attention. Most of the stuff that's, you know, typed and, you know, it's, you know, just letterhead, all the stuff. Psh, barely even look at it before it goes in the waste bin. So kudos to them for capturing my attention with this, you know, legal pad, paper, and what looks like just cursive writing with a pen.
So is it a machine writing? Can you tell, or is it actual writing? Because there are places online that you can get, they will actually hand write, and you can tell because you can see the indentation in the paper.
Yeah. Yeah, I can tell that this has been, this is not written with a pen, so it's been printed on here.
Yeah.
But what's cool is, what I noticed is, you know, most of the script follows the lines in the legal, you know, on the legal page or the legal pad lines. But then, like near the bottom, it starts to like bleed into the lines, like it's not centered. So you can tell that that's been, you know, kind of printed on there. But still, the first part of it, the, you know, like the first paragraph really gets your attention.
Yeah. And when you pull it out of the envelope, it looks like somebody wrote you something. So you, and that's the point, right? It's like, can I get you to read the first sentence?
Absolutely.
Not trying to get him to read the whole thing. So that's good. Well, it's funny. You should, let me see if that, see if the old screen share works. So now that I did the stuff I'm supposed to do.
Man, getting a new, so for our listeners who didn't hear the last one, and maybe we didn't mention this on the show, we probably mentioned this pre-show, but you've got a new iMac.
I went from a 2013 MacBook Pro to a 2020 iMac, not the brand new iMac, but basically the iMacs that they're trying to get rid of because they're $300 off. But, you know, it's when you get a new computer, even if you transfer a lot of stuff, it's like the first time you go on, it's like, this is a new device.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. And you got to redo the settings. But so for some reason, it's not letting me do screen share.
Right.
And I can't focus on both. So I'll just hold them up like you did the old school way. But I got something similar in the mail, but it was a printed flyer. Mm-hmm. But they did do the handwriting font.
Oh, I see that. Yes.
Right next. So the address is in handwriting font. And then right next to it, there's a letter, kind of a handwritten note next to the address line that says, our master installers are the real heroes in our business. Save 25% off and let them take care of all the details for you. Give me a ring to get a price. 512-843-5898. Andrew. So this was Memorial Day is when this, it hit right before Memorial Day, and it had urgency on it. It's got the deadline. Super deal ends May 31st, and everything's like hero themed.
Yeah.
You know, since a lot of people are talking about heroes around Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So everything is hero themed. So there's a lot of stuff going on here, right? It's hero themed. There's a deadline. There's handwriting font. You know, this, it's an oversized postcard, which is another trick that makes it stand out, because this piece ended up being the wrapper. If you ever watch a mailman deliver mail, he takes the biggest piece of mail and he sticks the envelopes.
Yes. Around those.
Crease,
yep. Yep.
In the crease of the largest piece of mail. So when you do oversized postcards, your stuff is on the outside.
Yep.
You know, so, and it becomes a container that your
very
other mail
smart.
Sits in.
Yeah.
So it's the last, it's typically the last piece of mail in your hand.
Yeah. Because that in order to shove it in your box, you have to fold that thing, and it's going around everything else. It's on the outside.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good point.
So that's why all the coupon books that you get every Wednesday, the grocery store flyers, they're larger. All the mail gets put in them. And you get stuck in them.
Yeah.
Like I said, when you're sorting, that's the last thing in your hand.
Yep.
So you think all this stuff just happens? No, my friend.
No.
This is all very strategic. Very strategic. Strategery.
Strategery.
As Mr. Bush would say. And then I was going through, speaking of like the grocery flyer, I was going through that. Just flipping through it because, you know, never know what's in there. Might be some good coupons for dinner on a Friday or Saturday or whatever. And here's an old school direct response space ad for those people who are having knee pain. It says, imagine a life free of knee pain.
Mm. There's imagine, that imagine word. What does that do? Yeah. What does that do to the mind? Imagine.
It's like, ooh, that would be nice. I got a grandpa playing with soccer with his grandkid. We talked about grandchildren and the power of that kind of on the last episode with David. But then the next line is non-surgical FDA approved knee pain relief is possible.
Yeah.
So you can have a life free of knee pain without surgery.
Mm.
So that's a pretty big thing. And then it just goes through, just does a great, I love space ads because they're tight.
Yeah.
And you only have so much space on a space ad. You know, you're limited to one page.
Right.
And you have to, typically when I've written space ads, you know, I kind of write it out. And then I have to go back and just like ruthlessly start cutting to get it to fit. Cause you need some images, you need some headers, you need some subheads, you need the contact information at the bottom. And you end up with probably, you know, 250 to maybe 500 words. So every word has to count. So you go through and you just have to start really cutting depending on the size of the space ad. But the point I wanted to make on these two things is like, this is old school stuff that even though I'm not in the market for either one of these things, they both caught my attention. Now, granted, I look for this kind of stuff, but they stood out in a world of big image,
sure,
big pictures,
right,
you know, that kind of stuff. You know, this is very emotional, benefit driven stuff, time deadlines, things like that. So stuff still works.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes we talk about this stuff and there might be some listeners like, I don't know if that'll still work. It's the internet, you know, have you heard of the internet, Jonathan, Sean? We're like, yeah, we have.
Yep.
But there's also a whole world out there that, you know, they still drive places. They still go out to eat. Not as much in the last year, but, you know, they still check their mail. You know, we've talked about checking the mail is one of the few times that millennials or other people do not have their phone in their hand.
Yep.
Like it's hard to check the mail with the phone in your hand.
It really is.
You almost need two hands to do it.
I can't think of a, you know, that's funny that you say that because I can't think of a time that I've had the phone in my hand just to walk out to the mailbox. Yeah. Usually when I walk out to the mailbox, it's kind of the break away from everything, you know?
Yes.
It's that little mini vacation away from, you're not plugged in. You're just walking out, kind of smelling the fresh air, opening the mailbox. So everything is kind of physically related. You're basically kind of trying to escape that digital world for at least a short period of time.
I agree. I do the same thing. If I'm kind of, you know, I'll go outside on the front porch and like just get a breath of fresh air because, you know, work from home, work in the office. I'm like, well, while I'm out here, I might as well walk to the end of the driveway, check the mail, you know, get a couple extra steps in.
Yep.
You know, and I know there's really nothing in there for me.
I'm the same way. Like, yeah.
I'm not expecting a check or anything.
No.
Everybody pays digitally now. So it's like,
sure.
But there's something about just, you know, going to the mailbox and maybe there's something in there for me.
Yep.
You know, and if not, it was a nice little walk and
that's like
you said, breath of fresh air and stretch your legs and, I always leave the phone inside. I know not everybody does, but it's probably in their back pocket at least.
Sure. It's not in their hand. Right. That's right. Because you don't know how much mail you're going to get. You may have to use both hands there. So.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to still, even if you're a global enterprise or if you're, you've got a coaching and consulting, I mean, you really should look into direct mail. And if you know copy and marketing and consulting, you should be consulting local businesses on how they can make their direct mail better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know,
because you've listened to this show.
Yep.
So, the mailbox is not dead. I think Brian Kurtz, you know, talked about that when he was on a while back. It's like, it's probably one of the least crowded inboxes that we have these days.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually stand out pretty easy.
Absolutely.
In an inbox, in a mailbox. So there's a couple tips for you, you know, handwriting, doing space ads, oversized postcards, personalized letters. Like there's still so much you can do in direct mail, and so many people, especially if you have an online business, and once you get an order, you have mm-hmm. their mailing address because it's attached to their credit card.
Yep.
And very few people are using that to do follow-up campaigns or anything else. You can send offers just in the mail so that when they get there, they're, and people are like, well, mail's expensive. And I'm like, well, not anymore. Like compared to the cost of a Facebook ad.
Yeah.
Where it might cost $3 to $10 to get a lead.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have a buyer, you know, you can send another offer to them for $1.50.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing a letter and in a basic number 10 envelope with some stamps mm-hmm. or a stamp, I mean, you can get back in front of that person in an isolated way for $1.50.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's cheap.
That is cheap.
You know, the days of, you know, I mean, yes, retargeting is probably cheaper than that, but it's also not as effective.
Right.
Because you're still competing with all the stuff going on online.
Yeah.
While you're trying to retarget, and there's no guarantee that you can retarget. You've got 100% chance of at least getting in front of the person in the mail.
Yeah.
And then it's up to your envelope and your copy and things like that to do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you know you're going to get in front of them.
Yep.
So yeah, use this stuff. It's pretty cool. Still works, still grabs attention.
One of the things I was going to mention to David on the last episode, you know, with David Dutch, is like he talks about, you know, I was reading one of his blog posts where he talked about how to get people to read your copy without changing a word. And it's all about your packaging. You know, which he mm-hmm. had some really good tips on packaging, but, you know, I would encourage people to go to, you know, his website,
David L. Deutsch.com.
Yeah. But, really interesting, but yeah, I mean, that plays a huge part of it. It's like we talk about the legal pad letter and, you know, just your packaging, wrapping, you know, having that big enough postcard to wrap around the other letters, thinking that through. Packaging's everything because it gets people to read, you know, move to the next step, which is reading your copy. So
yeah, it's like the subject line
mm-hmm.
in an email.
Yeah.
Your envelope or your postcard is the equivalent of a subject line on email, right? There's a list of, or a stack of things that you got to get through, decide to keep or not keep. And the envelope or the size of the postcard can kind of make you stand out, just like a good subject line can make you stand out.
Yep.
So it's the same concept, same principles, just applied in print instead of digitally.
Yep.
So, but yeah, too few people are using the resource they have with addresses and things like that. I know some credit card processors don't give you the address. It's a good reason to at least do some type of promotion to grab the addresses where you'll send them a free something,
mm-hmm.
you know, some type of swag or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you figure that into your your client acquisition cost, it can be worth it because you can then reuse that address over and over and over.
Right. Right.
We just did a campaign where I'm with right now, where we gave away a free physical book and like people went crazy for it, you know, as a part of signing up for the offer. They're like, you know, the first however many people to sign up, get a free physical copy of this book. And you'd be amazed. Like, you know, you could pick it up other places, but, actually, this I guess you couldn't. So, but as a fit, people wanted the printed copy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, and then we were able to grab those addresses. We'll ship them out, and now we can also do either ride-alongs or follow-up letters to those addresses that we have.
Did they pay for the shipping on those?
No, we paid for them.
Really?
As part of the promotion, yeah. Wow. So this is just a pure kind of bonus offer.
Sure.
You know, to drive up some urgency and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll be able to mail out other promotions now to those proven buyers mm-hmm. for as long as we want.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's awesome.
So yeah. So I know we've said it before, but stuff like this keeps showing up in my mailbox. There's some savvy people out there, these local marketers, and you know, they're going to get the business because they're staying in front of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if you're not a local company, you can still use these tactics and these ideas to show up in people's mailboxes.
Yep.
So that's all I got.
So I've got one more, maybe two more, but I've got one. I want to share an example of scarcity that I got in my email box today.
Okay.
It's not the best copy, but it's an example of scarcity that anyone can use that's authentic. I've got a email from the local sales manager at a dealership, a car dealership. It's a Jeep dealership because I'm on the list. I have a Jeep. This particular gentleman sent me an email, and I'm going to read it. It's really short, but it gets right to the point, and it caught my attention. So the headline is Vehicle Shortage Update, right? To my knowledge, I don't remember him, you know, sending me a previous email so that he would update me further. So, right? So
you missed something.
Yeah, I missed something along the way to get the update because I feel like I need to have some other conversation or some previous communication before I can get an update, but we'll forget that. But that did catch my attention. So vehicle shortage update. And this is from a Danielle Brock. So she sends it to me, and I got to give her some compliments to this. She says, update, what you need to know about your vehicle, your market, the market, and how it affects you. She says, so it says here, to be extremely transparent, the rubber and global chip shortage has caused prices to increase in both new and used vehicles. This means that if you're going to purchase a vehicle, you should purchase it very soon. In parentheses, it says, even if it's not from us, right?
That's a nice touch.
That's a nice touch. I was impressed with that. Even if it's not from us. So she's, you know, throwing out a recommendation.
It's the old takeaway selling, right?
Absolutely. Great takeaway selling. So she has positioned herself more as a consumer advocate when she puts that touch to it. Like, even if it's not from us, you should probably purchase soon if you're thinking about it. But then she goes on to say some other manufacturers were hit with this production problem way before we have. She misspells a few things, but it says, for now, we estimate that we should have vehicles for at least the next few months. Basically saying, you know, we've got supply at least for the next few months. Most trade values have increased dramatically due to this market shortage. I'm just trying to inform people before it's too late. Have a great rest of your week and stay safe. Here's what it's cool below. She puts links to the tire shortage car from a link to Car and Driver News on the shortage, the chip shortage, some links to the chip shortage, the silicone chips that are going into new vehicles. And I know this from my aspect because I'm in the industry, you know, I'm in manufacturing sectors that are, you know, we're seeing a lot of trickle down effects of those chip shortages, you know, with the automotive and so many OEMs that are manufacturing, you know, parts for automotive assembly plants are, some of them are shutting down right now because of the chip shortage, because it's just a slow, you know, it's just a bottleneck. It's creating, you know, it's creating problems with supply chain problems and, you know, all sorts of issues. But I found this really interesting, a really good case for using scarcity and using something in the news, obviously, to create a scarcity, using that scarcity principle of influence. And using something that's really authentic. It's not fake. it's actually something that's real that everyone's dealing with right now, which is a scarcity of materials out there.
Yep. That's good. And I love the proof. It's like, don't take my word for it. Here's proof.
That's right.
I'm saying. I mean, that's a nice little touch. And then
that's right. And even if you don't buy from us, right?
Yeah, that's a great touch.
I thought it was really impressive. Yeah, you know, not like overly great copy, but the fact that she used a lot of those aspects of, you know, just using that scarcity mentality, the headline, which is an update, you know, which kind of catches your attention because, you know, it's like, it's almost like using, you know, I know a lot of copy, like you see a lot of emails with the RE, like reply or an update, a quick update or something like that. Like you've been in the conversation for some time and you really haven't been. but it's effective because it catches your attention and gets you to read the next line. So,
yeah, and as long as it's not too misleading, I think.
Sure.
Like RE can stand for reply, but it can also stand for in regards to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's not always reply. So, mm-hmm. You know, what you don't want to do is you don't want to use something like something about like I've used this before where, but you can only use it sparingly. It's like urgent matter with your account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's something you can only use like once a year.
Yep.
You know, so you got to use it very intentionally. And you better do a good job of explaining it in the email.
Right.
But yeah, stuff like that, update, RE, all those types of things work really well.
Yeah.
So what was your other thing?
Last thing on scarcity. So I'm going to share an example this week and it kind of follows along with this email. So here's a podcast sponsor for a couple of my other shows. I've reached out to them a number of times before, at least four or five times before, you know, with the responses, no, we're not ready to market. We're not ready to do a sponsorship on your show. And so what I decided to do was to send out one final email this week that let them know, given the state of the industry and with the inflation, and we're seeing supply chain issues, inflation that's coming with everything else. I let them know that, listen, starting next year in the next 6 months, the sponsorship rates are going to go up. So I'm just letting you know, kind of like this email, hey, here's what's, you know, here's kind of the news. Here's the state of the industry. And we're going up on our rates pretty significantly starting in 2022. So if you want to jump on board, you better do it now because we do 6 months at a time. And so you want to do that before the first of the year. Immediately, when I put that out there, I got a response and said, we've talked it over and we've decided to move forward.
Nice.
So, and that's not a fake. Obviously, you know, I basically decided, you know, several weeks back that I was going to have to go up on, I wanted to go up on my rates just because of cost of editing, you know, just time constraints, you know, you have to pay people to edit podcasts and things like that. That factors into your cost, you know, when it comes to taking on sponsors and things like that. So I just simply put it out there, you know, let my advertisers, the sponsors know, but especially this new one, that things were going to change, you know, prices are going to go up. So that caught their attention. So, you know, they jumped on board, signed a contract this past week and got them on board. So,
you know,
it's just
very nice.
Another example of scarcity that works if it's true, which, you know, mm-hmm. if you're using it true to form, then it should work every time because people don't want to be, you know, it's that fear of being left, the fear of missing out. If you don't take advantage right away, then you're going to pay the extra price next year, the new price. Do we just go off lot or?
No, we're still there.
Oh, okay. I just got this notice on YouTube. It just popped up this one. Oh, okay. So we are live. Okay. But anyway, yeah, people looking ahead, they see the increase. They want to get in, you know, while the getting's good. So,
you know, the other thing is people just, they don't want to make a decision. So until you force their hand, they just won't.
Yeah.
They're just not going to make a decision. I mean, we just did a huge campaign for the company I'm working with and they, you know, I kept telling everybody at the company, I was like, 50% of our sales, 40 to 50% of our sales are going to come in the last 24 hours.
Sure.
Like it's just going to happen. So we had this a nice little spike at the beginning. Then we had this mid campaign lull and I was like, don't worry, it'll be there. And sure enough, like the last 24 hours, 40 to 50% of the buyers showed up because there was a deadline attack and it was a real deadline.
We
were starting. Yeah. We were starting a class. So, it's just amazing how people will continue to put that. And I know I've done it. I've had, you know, a sales page up in a tab in my, you know, on my computer for a week before trying to decide, do I want this? Do I really need it?
Yeah.
Do I want it not? And then all of a sudden it's like the deadline happens and I'm like, okay,
yeah,
I'll go ahead and buy it. It's just human nature.
Absolutely.
So you can either fight it or you can just know that it's there. And the thing is, it needs to be a legitimate price increase, a legitimate
absolutely
deadline, those kind of things. So,
and if you give the because reason, it's like the, you know, in Cialdini, he talks about influence. You always give people, you need to give people a reason so they'll believe, they'll believe your scarcity, you know, regardless. So, you know, I laid out for them, listen, you know, here's the reason prices are going to go up. And, you know, if you give them that, the reason, the because, they're like, oh, I get it. And we'll move forward. But it's just like you said, Sean, they were kind of dragging their feet. You know, every time I'd reach out to them, well, we're thinking about it, you know, and they were like kicking the can. And, you know, they had one of the accountants within their company was like, you know, he's a bean counter. So he's like, I don't know. I don't know if we want to spend the money. And they would always just come back to me and say, you know, we've talked to our manager and he's kind of an accounting, he's an accountant at heart. And he's just, you know, he's like, I'm just going to wait and see. So I'm like, okay, well, here's the deal. So it's amazing just how that works, you know, how that can get people right off the, especially, you know, people that are, you know, price conscious, they start to see, well, if we're going to do this, we're going to pay more next year. So, you know, that even gets the bean counter's attention when you start talking numbers. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, it's tried and true stuff. I mean, you know, we keep talking about it. Hopefully people keep hearing us and using it. So,
which reminds me real quick. Lastly, Ben Settle, he's like the master. Like when you talk about scarcity, this guy he follows through every time. I had a card that expired I was on his email players list. I had a card that expired. He sent me an email that said, cause I didn't realize the card had expired and apparently got a couple of notices, didn't see them and said, this is your last notice or, you know, you're done. I'm not even going to allow you to resubscribe. Guess what? I let it lapse. And then I tried to go in with a new card. Boom. Rejected.
Yeah. Yeah. The company I'm with now, they have a firm 1 year. If you cancel the monthly membership, you have to wait a year before you can resubscribe.
That's right.
Yeah. Not forever, but it is a year and they do stand by it.
Yeah.
Like you're flagged in the CRM and you have to stand by it. And they tell you before you cancel.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if you cancel, it's going to help. And
that's powerful.
Their retention is probably 2 to 3 months longer than the industry average.
Yeah.
Because they give people that warning.
Yeah.
You know, before they go.
Right.
And it's interesting. They have a lot of return people too.
I can believe
interesting.
It. Yeah.
Cause I think people that plants a seed in your head of some kind that you're like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't have canceled.
Oh yeah.
Or if it's just easy to cancel, you just move on. You don't think about it.
Yeah.
But because there's that little bit of decision process, you're always wondering, did I make the right decision? So then when you are allowed to come back, you're like, ooh, coming back, but I'm never canceling again. Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, I know. It really flips the tables because it's like me with the email players. Cause I was like, I just kind of like let it, I neglected because I'm like, you know, I'll get to it. Cause you got so many other things going on. And then when you finally realize that he stays, you know, it's not a fake scarcity. It's a real deal. And you're like, I can't get on. I'm begging you. I need to get back on this list. You know, So you're trying a new card.
Fortunately, you have like 13 other emails. So
that's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That didn't hurt. You can probably find a way to sign up. So
yeah, there's always a way. There's always a way. So, but yeah, that's just an example, a couple of examples of scarcity, of getting people's attention that you should really take to heart. So
absolutely.
All right, man. Well, I know you got plans. You're going out for burgers.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then I go over to the pool and get some food over there. So
sounds good.
Hope you guys have a great weekend. As always, you can find us persuasionbythepint.com. You can find us on all of your platforms, Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Spotify, all of that. Just do a quick search, Persuasion by the Pint, Persuasion by the Pint, and leave us 5 stars, please, if you get a chance. We'll see you next week.
See you.